Before we get started this morning, I just want to tell Brother Corey's class how much I appreciated their kind notes. And I know they didn't do those things to be publicly recognized for it, but I appreciate it. And I am not a person to talk about my feelings very much, much to, when I was a kid, my mother's dismay, and now that I'm an adult, much to my wife's dismay. I internalize a lot of things. And I say that not to complain. I'm very okay with that. That's how I prefer to deal with things, just to internalize it. But and I'm going to say something else, and this isn't to... I'm not complaining, nor am I throwing myself a pity party when I say this, but the work of a pastor a lot of times is just a lonely work. And you might say, well, Derek, you've got scores of people around you this morning. How is it lonely? It's because this isn't the work of a pastor. This is the best part of all that I get to do. I get to come up here and preach. This is the part that I love the most. I wish I could explain to you what it's like to preach. It's something else. It really is. To feel the presence of God as He moves and as He desires to speak His words to a congregation and to just be a tool. It's really remarkable, and I can't express it to you well enough to put it into words, but the labor of a pastor, it's done in secret where nobody sees it, because that's where it needs to be done. And I'm not complaining when I say that. Please know I'm not complaining. But I am saying that when there are those that feel it in their hearts, when they feel a need to support and to encourage, the meaning of that is even deeper. And I just want to say I appreciate that this morning. I absolutely love serving the Lord. I do a pretty poor job of it, probably most of the time. But you know what? God's very merciful. And He deals so graciously. I've been saved for 23 years this week. That's a long time to be saved, I suppose. But what's remarkable about being saved is that the grace that saves you, and make no mistake, it is the grace of God that saves this morning. But that grace that saves you, it remains with you. And God has done so many wonderful works that I'm just blessed to have seen. He's done works in your lives. Isn't that something to think about? I want you to think this morning just how many times we've just heard prayer requests from our brothers and our sisters. Then I want you to think about how many of them this morning we look around and we see them fulfilled. Boy, I just don't know what to do with that. That's the working of the Lord. That has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Him. We prayed for the Lord to send an increase, and He sent an increase. Prayed for Him to save souls, and He saved souls. Prayed with some of you that your job situations would change, and He did. Prayed with some of you that your spouses would start coming, and they did. We're still working on some of that, though, aren't we? So what we get to do is we can look and we can see the profound grace and the amazing mercy of God. And we can reflect, and we can grow glad and thankful and be made to rejoice of those things. And at the same time, we can grow to be confident that those things that we are still praying for, those things that we are still waiting to see by the work of the Lord, that we can look to those things and not just be, oh, maybe if we just get lucky, or maybe if we wish upon the right star or throw a penny in the right wishing well, that those things will be. Oh, but instead we know that we are taking them to an Almighty God, and we can look to faith, believing that those things that we carry to Him, He will work in His great will and in the riches of His glory to bring about according to His desire. Isn't that good? Oh, there's miracles that I'm convinced God's still going to do. And some will say, well, miracles are over, Derek. I just can't believe that. I've seen too many of them to be able to take that belief. I just believe God's not done yet. I just believe He's not done yet. So this morning, I just want you to know that I love you. I'm praying for you. Even if you say, well, Derek, I'm not here very much, or I've never been here before, or I don't know you. Listen, if I get the pleasure of meeting you today, I'm praying for you and I love you. That's really all you need to know, I guess. Because I believe that whatever it is that you're battling in life, that God can bring you a victory, that God can do wonders and splendors the like of which you would not even believe, except God brings them to fruition. You know what's amazing about that? I haven't even gotten close to where I thought I was going to go this morning, and maybe we'll get there, maybe we won't. But you know what's amazing about that? When God does these miracles that God is able to do, He does them in ways that are unexpected, and He does them beyond even what the need is. We deal with the God who Scripture tells us He's able to deal exceedingly abundant with us. I want you to think about what that means. Abundant means that it's plentiful. We have a God who's able to deal in plenty before us. We have a God that doesn't just give us a little bit. Oh, but He gives us abundance. He has made us to sit together in heavenly places. Oh, and this morning, even when I've gone without, I've had more than enough. Oh, but Scripture says He deals exceeding abundant. It's as if plenty just wasn't enough. Oh, but He gives still even a greater increase. There are those this morning who think that a belief in God is foolish. They think that in 2018 we are post-religion, and that there just really isn't a need to believe in these things anymore. That science has made up for all the things that we couldn't explain, that people used to believe were explained by God. Oh, I pray that God would help them with their ignorance. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I mean that they just haven't experienced those things. They haven't come to see the fullness of who God is and what He is able to do to deliver us and how He is able to do it. I read a few weeks ago in preaching about how God once again dealt exceeding abundantly with the people who were hungry, and all He used was a few fishes and a couple of loaves of bread. And they took up 12 baskets of the leftovers. You see, God is able to do beyond just those things that we would point to, just those things that we would try to attribute some understanding to. Oh, but instead He deals all the way and further still, that He might show the greatness of who He is. This morning, that's what I want you to know about God, is that there's a greatness of who He is. He has shown it time and time and time again. This morning, there are those that are with us that if you were to just ask them to recount about things in their lives that have been done, where the only explanation available is that God has taken and He has done something that He might demonstrate the fullness of who He is to a people that might come to know Him. You ever have those accounts somebody's given to you, and it's just one of those things where they're telling you something, and you just almost get goosebumps when they're telling you about it? Because you know that the things that they're describing, they can't be fully explained. And there are those that look to it and say, well, that must just be some universal coincidence. Yeah, must be. That a God who spoke the universe into existence still deals and ministers to people and still uses those things that are around us that He might express the greatness of His glory to you this morning. You know, every time that somebody feels that way about the work of the Lord, I always just wonder how they deal with certain accounts of Scripture. Not just have been approved by Scripture, but have been supported by history. Do you know that God one time, He used a donkey and He made him speak? That's what He did. And what you find is that it's not just recorded in Scripture, it's recorded in history. Did you know that right now scientists have understood and have proven out that according to the human genome, that all of us, when I say all of us, I don't just mean those that are here this morning that kind of all look alike and are from similar areas. I mean the whole world, everyone that is on earth this morning, all of us can trace our ancestry back to two people that lived between 6,000 and 8,000 years ago. I agree with science. Don't you? I believe we can do that too. So you see, what we have before us is not just that these things that have been recorded in Scripture according to the divine authority of God who inspired these writings that we look at and hold to as doctrine, but they have been supported by history and they've been supported by science. And as much as those that would try to disprove them, they stand time and time and time again. There was a poem that was found one time in a gas station. And the poem was about an anvil. And it was about how a young man went and he was walking through town one night and he came upon the blacksmith shop. And the blacksmith was in there and he had his hammer and he was just pounding away at this metal on an anvil over and over and over again. And this young man stopped and he was watching as this man was taking this hammer and striking this piece of metal on the anvil. And he began to reason with himself and he said, well, that's an awful lot of force that's falling upon that anvil time and time and time again. And so he stopped and he asked the blacksmith and he said, Mr. Blacksmith, I suppose that seeing you've hit that anvil so many times, that you must go through a lot of anvils. The blacksmith looked at that young man. He said, no. He said, I've gone through a lot of hammers, but I've always had just one anvil. Such it is with Scripture. The world has taken a hammer to it time and time and time again. And many hammers have found their end at coming against such great an anvil as the Word of God. Yet the Word of God still stands. Isn't that something? There are those this morning who think that everything that I'm saying is just some conspiracy and some hoax that is just for a bunch of people that are uneducated to believe upon. Oh, my friend, I look and I see a work, and I look and I see a word that has stood by all these millennia. And I say, tell me again how it is that you think that the things that we are holding to are just a hoax. You mean to tell me that 12 uneducated men, 12 men who were fishers and just those works of life that you would look upon and you'd say, well, those are just a bunch of ordinary men. And you believe to tell me that now, all these years later, there is still not just a small group of people in Franklin, Indiana, but people all throughout the world that are still holding to and deepening their understanding and knowledge because they continue to experience those things that those 12 men wrote about. You think it's a hoax? Oh, my friend. It's not. It's not. And I'll say that because not of just what Scripture supports, because what can be experienced. And this morning you can hold to your belief that all these things are just a coincidence and all these things are just worldwide untruths. But my friend, I am convinced this morning that you might not buy my argument and you might not buy the argument of your friends and your family that are around you, but I am convinced that you will be forced to buy the argument of a holy God when it is that He begins to do a work in your heart where He explodes it like dynamite. And He will. Now, be careful with what I said. I am not preaching that there is an irresistible grace, with all due respect to my Calvinistic friends, that I don't hold to that. You can grip that pew in front of you until your knuckles turn white as snow if you want to try to resist. And I believe God will allow you that free agency. Oh, but my friend, but I also stand convinced this morning because I've experienced it and I've had my brothers and my sisters who've experienced it, that when God begins to do a work in your heart as someone is preaching, as some song is being sung, as someone is telling you about what they've experienced, that what God begins to do is awaken in you, not just some mind belief of something, but that within all of you, within all of your heart, within all of your mind, within all of your spirit, you begin to come to understand that you are indeed separated from this God, that this God does indeed exist, that this God indeed does love man so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you would believe upon Him, He would save you, and not just save you in some little way, but He would save you completely. And we see then that if we have this work, and we see then that if this conviction, this working of God in the hearts of man really does take place, it's not an argument that I'm looking to win with you, my friend. It is not an argument that I'm asking that you would believe upon of someone else, but instead I ask you only that if God is doing a work in your heart, that you would not push it away, but instead you would look to that pulling of the Lord, and that you would follow after Him, and that you would believe upon Him, and that you would repent of your sins, and let go of your prideful belief of all those things that you hold to, and instead trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. This morning I am convinced that Jesus alone can save. It's only through Jesus. Last week I preached. I endeavored to try to show just what happens and how we're lost and how you're separated and how you're brought to God. Oh, this morning, all of that you don't have to understand. Oh, but the one thing you need to know this morning is it's only through Jesus. Salvation is found in no other name than the name of Jesus Christ. God has highly exalted Him, the Bible says. And it says that He's given Him a name that is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee would bow, that every tongue would confess. And the Scripture goes on further and it tells, not just in some little way that every knee would bow and every tongue would confess, but that every knee would bow, that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This morning I am standing before you, and I am obligated by the Spirit of God. I am obligated by my salvation. I am obligated by my knowing of Jesus Christ to tell you that if you do not bow upon your knees here in this life and call upon Jesus as Lord, that you will do it. Make no mistake, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And you might say, well, Derek, I'm going to resist with every ounce of my being, and I'm not going to do that. I want you to know that there is coming a day where this sky is going to be rolled back like a scroll closing up. And on that day, there will be men and there will be women and boys and there will be girls who are crying upon rocks to cover them and to hide them. For when I see the Son of God coming in clouds, it is to me a victorious day, a great day, but it is to you a terrible day, because He's not merely coming back that He might come and take His church and His people up to heaven with Him, but He is also coming back that He might stand as the righteous judge of the world. And for you who are lost this morning, you will be underneath that judgment. And that judgment looks and it applies upon your life, and it sees no righteousness there. It sees no holiness there. It looks and it sees only your sins with no covering. Oh, and my friend, where sin is not covered, judgment falls. Where sin is not covered, judgment comes. Oh, and Scripture tells us
that at that great and terrible day of the Lord, that Jesus would have those that would come to him and tell him all the great things that they had done in his name, yet never came to know him. And he would look at them and he would say, "Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. I never knew you." There is coming a great judgment day of the Lord. So my friend, this morning, the urgency at which I speak, the reason why preachers get a little loud, the reason why I make these big gestures with my hands, oh, it's not because I'm just trying to get your attention in a better way. Oh, it's because the urgency of your condition demands that the immediate need that you have to be saved be told and be expressed in the greatest way that I could possibly express it. For my friend, you are teetering on a thread before hell. And if that thread were to snap this morning, you would lift up your eyes in that eternal darkness and that eternal flame with never a help. With never a help. You might say, "Well, Derek, I look and I understand what you're saying, but I'm a pretty young guy, a pretty young lady. And I look and I say, well, I have the rest of my life in front of me." I sure hope that you do. I sure hope that you have the rest of your life in front of you. For the best that I can tell, you only have this moment. We hear accounts all the time about those that die at tragically young age. And it makes our hearts to grieve and to mourn. And I bet some of you have probably even experienced situations where you were just on the brink of death, if not for God delivering you from some car accident or some situation. Oh, the mercy of God was demonstrated to you once again, my friend. But not only is it that death is ever before us, but that the best that I can tell from Scripture, everything has been fulfilled. We're just waiting for a trump to sound. I'm just waiting for the sky to roll back. I get excited when I think about it. Oh, that day is going to be good. I'm going to take a flight. I'm going out of this place. I've got somewhere better to be. Oh, make no mistake, I'm going to stand before the Lord too in judgment. Oh, there's something different. There's something different about what I get to do. Because he'll go through all those acts of my life. Oh, that I'm just as rotten and as sinful as yours. Listen, my friend, I'm no better than you are. Oh, but there's been something that's happened that's overcome all of that sin. That's overcome all those rotten things that I've done and thought. For what will happen is that the Lord will look upon me, and what he's going to see is the blood of his Son. The blood of Jesus is there. And it's covered up all of those things. And when you look, when you see the blood of Jesus, and when we know that all the issues of life are in the blood, what you find there is that, yes, all of those rotten deeds have been in my past and will surely be in my future. Oh, but my friend, they've been covered up, not just by the blood of one, but they've been covered up by the blood of the righteous one. And the righteousness of God that has been applied to me through his Son Jesus will be seen on that great day of judgment. Oh, as the song sings, he will look on him and pardon me. Isn't that incredible? I'm going to heaven this morning on the merits of another. I'm going to heaven this morning because of Jesus. Oh, this morning you can too. Isn't that wonderful? Not of works that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, my friend, this morning I want you to be saved. And the incredible part about all this is there is absolutely nothing that is preventing you today except for your own unwillingness to come before the Lord. There is nothing that is standing in your way except for your own pride that says, "Derek, I'm refusing this morning to believe upon the Lord. I'm refusing this morning to hear the call of the Lord as he would deal in my heart." There is nothing except for your own unwillingness to call upon the name of Jesus that's preventing you from being saved. It's a whosoever will salvation. Always has been, always will be. It is faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, that saves whosoever will come to believe upon the name of Jesus. This morning, let's get a song, Brother Daniel. I didn't touch a thing upon which I thought I was going to preach, and that's okay.
God can take care of whatever he needs to take care of through his Spirit. I'm convinced he's that big of a God, aren't you? Oh, so this morning, if God's dealing with you in some way, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. And while I've been preaching this morning, there's been some work going on in your heart. God's been doing something inside of you this morning. If I know to preach, don't push those things away. Follow after him as he would draw you. If you feel a tug has been called, you feel the pricking of the Spirit of God upon your heart this morning, follow him. Call upon him. Place your faith and trust in Jesus. And he'll save you. He'll save you just like that. It's not some drawn out thing. Oh, but all at once, when you come to believe upon Jesus, forsaking all else, God will do a work in your heart that will completely change your life. In a moment, you can be saved this morning. As we say and as we sing,